Good morning. This is Northern Light for Friday, March 22nd. I'm Monica Sandreski.
And I'm Todd Moe.
Delays with the FAFSA are stressing thousands of North Country high school seniors who are in limbo while trying to make decisions about college in the fall.
North Country districts are still grappling with the severe staffing shortage impacting schools across the U.S. Many districts are turning to a short-term fix to close the gap.
Right now, we are truly relying on retirees at all levels coming back into the workforce.
And we'll check back in with the Tupper Lake Observatory's Seth McGowan about the total solar eclipse community party they're planning and their ties to NASA.
Think festival environment. That's what that will feel like, you know, with food trucks and just a kind of a fun sort of filled environment taking place.
Plus, telescopes, citizen science tents, and more. All of that's coming up on Northern Light. Stick with us.
Broadcast of Northern Light here on North Country Public Radio is supported by Seacom Credit Union, serving the financial needs of people throughout northern New York and northwestern Vermont in person, online at seacom.org, and on your smartphone. And by the Depot Theater in Westport, inviting all to take a journey without leaving the station. Learn more at depottheater.org.
This is Northern Light. I'm Monica Sandreski.
And I'm Todd Moe. Thousands of North Country high school seniors are in a stressful state of limbo right now. They're trying to make decisions about college, but they're still waiting on financial aid offers from schools. That's because of delays from the federal government. The Department of Education recently launched a new version of the Free Application for Federal Student Aid, also known as the FAFSA, but the rollout has run into big mistakes and problems. A lot of students still don't know how much financial aid they'll get, and advocates worry that some low-income students may give up and decide not to go to college at all. Lucy Grinden has more.
Most students in the U.S. get two letters when they get into college. First, an acceptance letter. Then a financial aid offer. That second letter, the financial aid one, is really crucial for families.
To help us decide which school she wants to go to and how and if we can afford it as a family.
That's Carlene Doan in Canton. Her daughter's a senior in high school. In a normal year, she probably would have picked a college by now. Instead,
we're on pause. We're on hold of, you know, my daughter that's going in has been accepted into a couple of schools, but they are unable to give us a financial plan. So now we're waiting.
A lot of families are dealing with this around the country right now. That's because the government is taking much longer than usual to process FAFSAs, decide how much students can afford to pay, and then tell the schools. Without that info, the schools can't make their financial aid offers to parents yet. The new FAFSA was supposed to make this whole process quicker and easier. Doan says the new FAFSA is simpler than the old one. In the past, she filled out the previous version for her older son. But she says all the waiting this year is really frustrating.
Like, you expect me to have accountability in filling out this form? In return, I expect you to have accountability in providing this information, too.
Lots of schools are pushing back their May 1st enrollment deadlines to give students extra time to decide. That includes all SUNY schools. SUNY Chancellor John King held a virtual roundtable about the FAFSA earlier this month.
The FAFSA has been in the news lately for all the wrong reasons, but we're here today because we understand that for so many students, FAFSA completion simply means the difference between going to college and never having the chance.
King announced a push to help more students with the FAFSA last month, including at least one in-person event at every SUNY school. Courtney Rust is the financial aid director at SUNY Potsdam.
Our students could not attend college without financial aid.
Rust says 96% of SUNY Potsdam students use some form of aid. This year, the school ran a bunch of FAFSA labs for local high schools like Edwards Knox, St. Lawrence Central, and Madrid Waddington. Rust says the challenge she's seen the most with the new FAFSA is that students are getting confused by the process and submitting their FAFSAs without signatures, causing delays. Rust says she's been trying to ease people's anxiety. Her office does one-on-one counseling sessions to answer FAFSA questions and talk through the process.
We're just really hoping that people can at least get a FAFSA done by June 1st. And if they still can't get it done by then, there's no penalties or anything like that. We understand that it's taking some time.
And she says local high schools should reach out if their students still need FAFSA help. SUNY Potsdam's next FAFSA workshop will be this Saturday on the school's Admitted Students Day. Lucy Grindin, North Country Public Radio.
Listening to Northern Light here on North Country Public Radio. It's 6 minutes past eight. Good morning. I'm Todd Moe.
And I'm Monica Sandreski. Coming up, the observatory in Tupper Lake is one of just a handful of places in the country providing the official total solar eclipse live stream to NASA on April 8th. We're also hosting a major community festival, and we've got the details coming up in just a few minutes here on Northern Light.
Music by Sal Sarmiento. Northern Light is supported by Adirondack Foundation and the Adirondack Birth to Three Alliance, dedicated to providing all children the best possible start in life. AdirondackBT3.org. Partly sunny skies this morning, increasing clouds in the forecast. Don't let that sunshine fool you. We've got snow moving into the region tonight and throughout the day tomorrow and early Sunday morning. Weather Service says a winter storm warning is in effect from 8 o'clock tonight through early Sunday morning. Several inches, especially in some of the higher elevations, moderate to heavy snow, especially throughout the day tomorrow.
North Country districts are still grappling with the severe staffing shortage impacting schools across the U.S. Last fall, a survey from the National Center for Education Statistics found that 9 out of 10 school districts were struggling to hire teachers and staff. Amy Feiereisel reports on the short-term fix many districts have turned to close the gap.
When you have open positions and no one applying, what can you do? In many North Country schools, this has been the answer.
Right now, we are truly relying on retirees at all levels coming back into the workforce.
Ron Burke is the superintendent at Messina Central School District. He previously served as superintendent in Canton. He gave one shortage example. St. Lawrence County is hurting for math teachers.
I believe right now there are 4 or 5 openings at least around the county, maybe 6.
At Messina, they had 2 math positions they couldn't fill in the fall.
And 2 retirees came back to job share, one of those, so that helped us there.
Burke says with fewer graduates coming out of teaching programs like the ones at SUNY Potsdam, schools are left with fewer options and lots of vacancies.
Physical therapy, OT, speech is a huge issue, school psychs. Special education has been a major shortage for many years.
Across the U.S., retired teachers have been rejoining the education workforce to fill those positions, and states have changed laws to make that possible. In New York, the state has suspended an earning limit for retired teachers since 2020. That allows them to work without taking a cut in their retirement benefits. Burke says many retirees have come back because administrators like him have asked them to.
And I think it's that sense of loyalty for many of them that they know our students are suffering as a result of the labor shortage.
But this can't last forever, says Burke.
It's a temporary fix to a long-term problem.
New York is facing a steep retirement cliff. The state estimates the school system will need 180,000 new teachers in the next decade. But teaching programs aren't graduating in large enough numbers to meet that need. Education advocates say there are lots of reasons for that. Pay isn't competitive with the private sector. Pensions have been reduced. Burke says there's something less quantifiable, too, how teachers feel about their profession.
We need to make sure that our teachers are highly respected and that they are recognized as being, you know, vital to our communities and to our children. So it's a struggle to get that back.
Staff shortages extend to janitors and cafeteria staff and bus drivers. Retirees have also filled gaps there.
Without the retirees that are driving for us, I just don't know how we would even get our students from point A to point B.
It's a widespread issue. Across the North Country, it's become increasingly common for superintendents to drive bus. Burke was behind the wheel for much of January and February, alongside other staff that normally wouldn't be.
You know, I still have my transportation director. He's running bus runs both morning and afternoon, as are all three of my mechanics. So I still have at least four people, you know, giving up part of their day with their normal job to drive bus.
In January, in hopes of alleviating the bus driver shortage, the New York DMV implemented a federal waiver. It allows school bus driver applicants to skip a mechanical component of the commercial driver's license road test. And New York's education department is currently discussing alternative options to becoming a certified teacher to try and jumpstart a sluggish teacher pipeline. Burke says the state and districts need to get creative because staffing problems won't go away on their own.
Anything that we can do to promote folks coming into our system would be great. We truly need those posters that were so common in World War II, where Uncle Sam was saying, "We need you. We need to do the same thing right now in education." You know, pointing out to folks that, hey, we need you.
He urged current high school students and second career folks to give education a try.
Try some education courses. Try getting into a school as a sub. See if you like it.
According to local, state, and federal numbers, there are a lot of openings. Amy Feiereisel, North Country Public Radio.
New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand wants to give more money to seniors to help them pay for health care. The Democrat has introduced a bill that would increase Social Security benefits. She spoke about it at an online press conference this week.
Even with Social Security income, many older adults still can't afford basic necessities. And far too often, we have older adults facing homelessness, food insecurity, or financial ruin.
The North Country is aging. Except for Jefferson County, where Fort Drum is, every county in the region has a higher percentage of adults over 65 than the state average of 18%. And lots of North Country seniors rely on Social Security as their main source of income. Benefits are already adjusted for inflation every year, but Gillibrand says those adjustments haven't been keeping up with rising health care costs.
While younger adults might spend the bulk of their incomes on things like housing, food, childcare, or consumer goods, older adults typically spend a larger percentage of their income on medications and healthcare.
Government research shows that people 65 and older spend almost 2.5 times more on healthcare. So Gillibrand wants the annual Social Security adjustment to weigh healthcare costs more heavily. Gillibrand's bill would make the Social Security Administration calculate inflation differently. It would use a measure that looks at the cost of living for seniors, specifically taking into account that seniors have greater healthcare needs.
The town of Potsdam has decided to start powering its municipal buildings with local renewable energy. Last week, the town council voted to sign a 2-year contract with Northern Power and Light, a hydropower company based in Saranac Lake. The village of Saranac Lake has also opted to get electricity from the company. It signed a contract in January. The move is expected to save thousands of dollars a year on electricity for both Potsdam and Saranac Lake. Northern Power and Light's electricity will come from the Sissonville Dam on the Racket River outside Potsdam, the dam on the St. Regis River in St. Regis Falls.
And it's the final weekend for New York State Maple Weekend. Sugaring operations throughout the North Country are inviting community members to check things out. Pierce's Sugar Spigot in Harrisville and Grottoli's Maple House in Granville will host tours of the Sugar Shack to see how sap becomes syrup. The Parker Family Maple Farm in Chazee will have wagon rides, maple cotton candy and maple milkshakes, plus an all-you-can-eat pancake breakfast. And the Taney Center in Canton is hosting a free sugaring off kickoff party to celebrate maple season. Party starts tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock with a cafe in the morning starting at 10:30. There'll be storytelling, live music from a local fiddle band, and Canadian folk dancing. You can find a sugar shack near you at mapleweekend.com.
You're listening to Northern Light right here on North Country Public Radio. I'm Todd Moe.
And I'm Monica Sandreski. We are all getting excited for the total solar eclipse coming on Monday, April 8th. And to find out more about how our observatory in Tupper Lake is involved, we'll hear from Seth McGowan, president of the observatory, coming up in just a few minutes. Then stick around after the show for Bird Note coming up at 8:42. First, Todd has a look at the weather for us.
Increasing clouds and some moderate to heavy snow moving into the region later tonight, throughout the day tomorrow, and into early Sunday morning. And then milder temperatures for next week. Highs today in the mid to upper 20s with winds out of the west-northwest and snow starting probably around 8 o'clock or so this evening and continuing throughout the day tomorrow. Some moderate to heavy snow in the forecast, especially in some of the higher elevations. The Weather Service has issued a winter storm warning effective 8 o'clock tonight through 2 a.m. Sunday, extending from eastern Lake Ontario through the central northern Adirondacks, the Champlain Valley into central and northern Vermont, the Green Mountains. Again, heaviest snows expected in some of the higher elevations. The St. Lawrence Valley under a winter weather advisory tonight through early Sunday morning. Weather Service says times snowfall rates could be 1 to 2 inches. Some of that heavy wet snow could also break tree branches down some power lines, so there could be some scattered power outages. Again, a winter storm warning in effect 8 o'clock tonight through 2 a.m. Sunday for much of the North Country. John Warren checks outdoor conditions for the weekend.
On Saturday, sunrise in the high peaks will be at about 6:53, and sunset will be at about 7:13. Winter is clinging on in the mountains. With a late-season snowstorm into forecast, watch the weather closely this weekend and prepare for full winter conditions, especially at higher elevations on Saturday. Snowshoes are still needed above about 2,000 feet, as well as traction devices for lower elevations, which remain icy in places. Also expect to encounter blowdown this weekend. High peak summits are expected to remain mostly in the teens and 20s through the weekend, with wind chills mostly in the single digits. There remains at least a few inches of snow around the region before the storm, with areas of deeper snow, Old Forge and around Saranac Lake are reporting about 6 inches. Around 2,500 feet, there is still a couple of feet of snow, with more at higher elevations, as much as 4 feet in some spots. Avalanche Pass remains skiable above Avalanche Camp, but the drainages are mostly open. Rivers and streams around the region are at their typically higher springtime levels, some may be difficult or impassable this weekend. The Hudson River is at about 4.5 feet on the gauge at North Creek this morning. The Racket River will be at about 8 feet this weekend at Piercefield. Lake Champlain is still at about 98 feet just above Whitehall. There remains some downhill skiing. Whiteface and Gore have recently gotten new snow and expect more. It's shaping up to be a late season for them. Oak Mountain will be open for pond skimming Saturday, although skiing and boarding have ended there. At McCauley and Old Forge, they are hoping to open for one last weekend, but call ahead. Cross-country diehards can probably find some facility skiing. Try Mount Van Hovenberg, Garnet Hill, or Lapland Lake, but definitely call ahead there as well. And a reminder that most seasonal roads are now closed for mud season. DEC has issued the annual mud season advisory, asking hikers to stick to drier, lower elevation trails. Those are the outdoor conditions in the Adirondacks this weekend. For North Country Public Radio, this is John Warren from the New York Almanac, online at newyorkalmanac.com.
You're listening to Northern Light right here on North Country Public Radio. It's about 20 after 8. Good morning. I'm Monica Sandreski here with Todd Moe. And the folks at the observatory in Tupper Lake are preparing to party on Monday, April 8th, when the moon will completely obscure the sun for about 3 minutes during a total solar eclipse. This event is rare. It hasn't happened in the Adirondacks since the 1300s and won't happen again for more than 300 years. Recently, I checked in with Seth McGowan. He's the president of the Adirondack Sky Center in Tupper Lake. Yesterday, he shared with us about what a total solar eclipse is like. You can listen to that conversation at ncpr.org. And today, he's got details for us about the Cosmic Community Festival planned for the event in Tupper Lake.
We are very close to the line of totality. I mean, effectively, we are, you know, as close to the line as you can get without being in the middle of the woods someplace. But that paired with the fact that we're the only astronomy-based organization in the Adirondack Park gives us, I would say, almost a responsibility to create an event where people can come and learn about the science of astronomy, learn how to feel comfortable in their place in the universe and understand what's going on, and experience this thing in a safe, caring, you know, environment. And that's prepared by experts in the field.
What is the observatory's relationship with NASA for this event?
We are providing one of the 13 live streams through our telescopes to NASA. So effectively, they're using our telescopes to broadcast the eclipse to the rest of the world. And that's a big deal for us. We're using our own our equipment. We've made arrangements. I've been on several technical calls with NASA to make sure that the technical stuff is in place. And we're going to be broadcasting from our very telescopes right to their live stream. And because we will have a production company on the ground with us, we have cameramen on our site that will be streaming also not just the eclipse, but the actual event with the people and the activities and so forth to NASA's stream as well. So we've got two different streams going right to NASA. And it's not like a YouTube TV kind of a stream. This is direct to their core system, and they'll be distributing it from there to their, you know, NASA TV or NASA Live. So that's just so exhilarating to be recognized as a place that can do that and provide that stream to them. I'm just so proud of that.
And so will there be astronomers from NASA on site in Tupper?
No, no astronomers from NASA on site. However, we have other experts in astronomy coming in from the Harvard-Smithsonian Observatory, from Wesleyan University, coming in to do talks and interact with the public, work on the solar viewing again in that solar telescope area where we'll have those solar telescopes set up. We'll have, you know, a dozen or so telescopes with professional astronomers working those telescopes to help people see through.
We've been touching on it a bit. What do you have planned for the event?
It's a full-blown festival environment right at L.P. Quinn Elementary School. And there we'll have, seven or eight tents set up for family activities. We'll have our citizen science set up for people to participate in collecting data for NASA. We'll have our solar viewing area so people can wander over to a solar telescope and look at the sun during the daytime safely with our experts. We'll have our big 18-foot digital screen that'll be broadcasting all sorts of fun events. We'll have poetry readings. And that all happens at the elementary school in Tupper Lake. Think festival environment. That's what that will feel like, you know, with food trucks and just a kind of a fun sort of filled environment taking place. And that lasts all day Sunday and all day Monday, starting at 8 o'clock, going right through to the time totality starts or the time the eclipse hits, which is about 2:12. And at that point, all of our activities shut down. because we don't want to be having people do something else and miss that feeling of the sun being slowly blocked by the moon. So for the next hour or so during the totality, partial eclipse, and then through totality, all of that ends when we're just focused on watching the eclipse happen. And then as soon as that's over, all of the festivities pick up again, and party environment there, right at L.P. Quinn Elementary School in Tupper Lake. Yep. You know, we'll go, we'll be there until the last person leaves.
How many people are you expecting to come?
I don't know. We're not a ticketed event, so we're not counting sales. I mean, I guess I would say that based on 2017 and the information that the research that was done after 2017 by the, say, the National Transportation Safety Board and other organizations that did traffic migration to the line of totality, we're expecting big crowds. What that number will be, it's really hard to say. It could be up to 5,000 people.
What's parking going to be like?
Yeah, Roost has designated these parking areas as far out towards Long Lake, as far out towards Saranac Lake, as far out towards Watertown. And the school is providing bus transportation on these constant loops. So there's basically a transit system that will bring people to the site and then return them to their cars. So it'll be a constant shuttle system out into the community and then back. It'll pass through downtown Tupper Lake or Park Street where the Arts Center is, and they've got a special event going on too. It'll stop at the Wild Center, so it's just a special transit system. So people will be parking out in the community wherever they can find parking, especially in those large designated parking areas. And there's designated bus pickup spots along the routes coming back into town.
What happens if it's cloudy?
Ah, clouds. Clouds are actually fun during an eclipse. You know, the changes in the atmosphere are so severe that oftentimes it results in thunder and lightning or hail even. It still gets pitch dark. It's still dark as anything, but you get these amazing colors around the horizon if there's clouds. So the only element that's missing during a total eclipse under clouds is the actual visual of the corona. Now, I will say that there's nothing that can beat that. That's a fantastic thing. But the experience under cloudy skies is different, but it's equal in its magnitude in that you feel these very strange things happening. It's still a phenomenal experience. And, you know, one thing that I've had to emphasize to people is just because you think it's going to be cloudy where you're headed, don't not go. Don't stay inside, because the experience is equal, just in different ways. So you may not see the corona, but you're going to have an experience that you just wouldn't have anywhere else or in any other way. So the clouds would be unwelcomed, but we'd make our peace with it because the trade-off is equally mystifying. Also, in certain circumstances, depending on the clouds, you can see the shadow of the eclipse coming across the bottom of the clouds. Again, depending on the types of clouds, as it's coming at you at 2,500 miles an hour. That is, you can't beat that. It's like something out of a sci-fi movie. Looks like you're being invaded by aliens.
Seth McGowan is the president of the Adirondack Sky Center and Observatory in Tupper Lake. Find a link to the full list of events and shuttle route for the Totality in Tupper event at NCPR's Total Solar Eclipse landing page. That's ncpr.org/eclipse. We've got a map of the path of totality, a list of eclipse events throughout the region. Check it out at ncpr.org/eclipse.
Yeah, we've got questions. You've got questions. How cold will it get? Why don't total eclipses happen more often? Astronomer Eileen O'Donohue is going to join us here on North Country Public Radio on Tuesday, April 2nd, to answer those questions and many, many more about how a total solar eclipse works. Email your questions for Eileen to news@ncpr.org. Back to Morning Edition in just a moment. That's it for Northern Light on this Friday, March 22nd.
And since it is Friday, many of our programs have news roundups, taking a look at news this past week, both nationally and internationally, coming up on 1A between 10 and noon. And then again this afternoon on Here and Now, the Journalist Roundtable discusses the race to pass a compromise budget and avert a partial government shutdown and the legal cases against former President Donald Trump. That's this afternoon on Here and Now between 1 and 2 o'clock. Then after that, it's Science Friday, right here on NCPR. I'm Monica Sandreski.
I'm Todd Moe. Thanks for joining us. Be well.